Praise the Lord. Message tonight, four things not enough. Proverbs 30, verses 15 to 16. Bible says, there are three things that are never satisfied. Yea, four things say not, it is enough. The grave and the barren womb, the earth that is not filled with water, and the fire that saith not, it is enough. Now, these four phrases have application, obviously, on the natural level, but I want to give a spiritual interpretation tonight to these verses. There are three things that are never satisfied. Yea, four things say not, it is enough. The grave and the barren womb, the earth that is not filled with water, and the fire that saith not, it is enough. Number one tonight, the grave. The grave is the warfare against the flesh. The grave, the warfare against the flesh. No matter how many times you have won the victory over the flesh and put attitudes and temptation and sinfulness to the grave, we will have to do it again and again and again. Jesus said, take up your cross daily and follow me. Take up your cross daily. Crucify your own self and follow the will of God. The Apostle Paul said, I die daily. I die daily. Well, we're not better than the Apostle Paul, are we? If he needed to die daily, so do we. There is a grave, this warfare against the flesh. There is an old chorus, the flesh is at war with the spirit. And the spirit is at war with the flesh. The higher spiritual life that's in us in Christ, and then that lower nature that we still deal with till the day of resurrection or are going to be with the Lord. The flesh is at war with the spirit, and the spirit is at war with the flesh. We are enmeshed in a battle that never shall be done till the day we are home. King Asa walked with God, but in his 39th year, he got diseased in his feet, his walk. Godly king walked with the Lord 38 years into his 39th year. And he didn't war a good warfare. 2 Chronicles 16. And at that time, Hanani the seer came to Asa, king of Judah, and said to him, because you have relied on the king of Syria and have not relied on the Lord your God, therefore the army of the king of Syria has escaped from your hand. Were the Ethiopians and the Lubim not a huge army with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet, because you relied on the Lord, he delivered them into your hand. God gave you great victories when you were younger, King Asa. But how's your steadfastness with the Lord now? For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. In this you have done foolishly. Therefore, from now on, you shall have wars. Then Asa was angry with the seer, the prophet, and put him in prison, for he was enraged at him because of this. Enraged at the preachers. And Asa oppressed some of the people at that time. Note that the acts of Asa, first and last, are indeed written in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel. And in the 39th year of his reign, Asa became diseased in his feet, and his malady was severe. Yet in his disease, he did not seek the Lord, but the physicians. So Asa rested with his fathers. He died in the 41st year of his reign. Say, Pastor, I've been walking with God for 5 years now. Good. Keep walking. Well, I've been walking with the Lord now for, 25 years. Congratulations. Keep walking. I've been walking with God 38 years. I'm into 39th year. Be careful, King Asa. Don't stumble now. But he did. Say, well, how long do I have to keep walking with the Lord? Until you walk right out of this world into the eternal presence of God. The Bible says, keep walking. Keep putting the flesh life to the grave. Put sin and temptation and attitudes and any carnal thing that rises up against you, put it in the grave, crucify it, and walk with the Lord. Listen to these words of Jesus, Matthew 15, 18 to 20. Jesus said, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man, a person. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, hatreds, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, slander, gossip, blasphemies, speak against the word of God, against the faithfulness of God. Jesus said, these things proceed out of the heart. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man. Religious leaders of that day and people were so ritualistic about washing their hands, but their hearts were defiled. Jesus said, it's not your hands that need washing, it's your heart that needs washing. How many times a day do you wash your hands? Well, I don't know, 6, 8, 10, dozen times a day? Jesus said, we need our hearts washed over and over during the day against any thoughts, against anything that would rise up that would not be of him in our hearts. This is the warfare. There are four things that say not it is enough. We will always have to put the flesh to death and crucify it and put those things in the grave. Number two, the barren womb. The cry for souls. The cry for souls. No matter how many people we have won through Christ, through our individual and collective efforts, no matter how many people have been touched by the ministry of this church, it could never be enough. The barren womb. Do you feel it in you? The cry for souls. The cry for the harvest, the cry for the broken men and women of earth that they would come to Christ. This world sympathy that we carry on the inside of us, this burden, this barren womb, the cry for souls. The bride, Rachel, cried out to Jacob, and we've got a greater Jacob, Christ our Lord. She said, give me children or I die. Give me children or I die. This passion for souls that needs to burn in us and an evangelical fervor in our hearts that we're always longing, crying out for souls. Jesus said in Mark 1:17, follow me and I will make you become fishers of men. The word of promise. Jesus said, if you follow me, I will make you become fishers of men. As individual fishermen, but as a collective team, as a church, as a ministry, as departments of the house of God. Luke 5, 8 to 10, Jesus had just done a miracle, a great catch of fishes. It says, for Peter and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men. He didn't say from now on, you might catch men. He didn't say, hopefully you'll catch men. He said, from now on, you will catch men. You will bring souls into the kingdom by your prayers, by your gospel, by your giving of finances, by your efforts for the gospel. You will catch men. We have our trust in the Lord. 1 Corinthians 3, 6 to 7. Who then is Paul? Paul's own words. And who is Apollos? But ministers through whom you believed, as the Lord gave to each one. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. God is the only one who can secure the increase. we sow, we labor, we partner with God, we water, we do our responsibility before God with all our faith and our heart and sincerity, but only God can bring the increase. God says, there are four things which never say it is enough, and one is the barren womb, the cry for souls, and may the church always cry for souls. Number three, the earth not filled with water. The thirst for the presence of God in our life. The earth not filled with water. I don't know about you. I know you have the same spirit. I could never get enough of the presence of the Lord. I want the presence of the Lord on my life. I want the felt presence of God on my life and on my family. I want it more fully. I need it because the ground dries up, doesn't it? It's not once for all. We need this daily. We need this anointing, this living water from on high to touch our souls. Moisture evaporates. Moisture is used up. We need him always like the summer rain. Isaiah 44:3, for I will pour water on him who is thirsty and floods on the dry ground. I will pour my spirit on your descendants and my blessing on your offspring. The earth which is never satisfied, the earth which can never be filled. I need you more. I need your presence, Lord. I need your presence every day. Psalm 42:1, as the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. Such a desperation for the water of God, for the presence of the Lord on our life. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? David said, I want to get to the house of God. That's where I appear before God with the people. He said, I want that corporate anointing. I want the living water that flows in the house of the Lord as well. As the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? A thirst for the presence of the Lord in our life. Hallelujah. Ground that needs him, a heart that needs him, earth and soil that needs him, an earth and life that needs him more than anything. I need you more. Psalm 72:6-7. He shall come down. This is a prophecy of Jesus, the greater King. Jesus shall come down like rain upon the grass before mowing, like showers that water the earth. In his days, the righteous shall flourish, and abundance of peace until the moon is no more. Jesus is the one that comes down like rain upon our lives, upon the grass. He comes down like showers that water the earth. My, if you water your grass every day, my, it stays green. Water your life every day with the presence of the Lord. Call out for the felt presence of God. I need your presence. I need you more, Lord, in my life. I need you today. I need your presence, and he will come. You know why golf courses are so beautiful? You drive through a city and you see a golf course. Wow, it's so green and lush. You drive through the countryside and there's a golf course tucked away. And my, it's so beautiful. The flowers look so great and the grass is green. You know why a golf course is so green and beautiful? Because they water it every morning. And they water it early. Four things that can never say it is enough. And the third is the presence of the Lord in our life. Number four, the fire which never says enough. This is the longing for the fire of the Holy Spirit. The fire which never says enough, the longing for the fire of the Holy Spirit. A life set on fire by the Holy Spirit. The wonder of a life set on fire by the Holy Spirit. The glory of a life that is consumed by the fire of the Holy Spirit. And we can tell when we're on fire and when we're not. Consumed by the fire, this longing, Holy Spirit, I want your fire. I want to pray with fire. I want to worship with fire. I want to fellowship with fire. I want to labor with fire. Give me the fire of the Holy Spirit. Give me the fire, longing for the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, how much more will the Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? We ask him every day, I need your fire. I can't get enough of you, Holy Spirit. I can't get enough of the fruit of the Spirit. I can't get enough of the gifts of the Spirit. I can't get enough of your miracle touch and life and presence in me. That part of us that will never be satisfied. We need more of the Holy Spirit. Matthew 3:11, John Baptist said, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He, Jesus, will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. He's going to immerse you. Just like you were immersed in water at water baptism, he said Jesus is going to immerse you in the fire of the Holy Spirit, and you're going to burn with the fire of God. Psalm 104, verse 4, God makes his angels spirits, his ministers a flame of fire. Good evening, ministers. He makes his ministers a flame of fire, and we burn for God. Our spirits burn. Our words burn. Our heart burns after God. Acts 2:1-4. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire. Fire, when it shoots up the flame, it's like tongues. It's like a tongue of fire. There appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. The fire of the Holy Spirit came upon that first gathering, 120 in the upper room, and the Holy Spirit was for every one of them. Not one was left out. It's for every person to receive the fire of the Holy Spirit, to burn with fire, to burn in the worship, to burn in prayer, to burn in your soul and longing after God. Everyone received a flame of fire over their head, this flame of fire, and it came down into them. So this tongue of fire from heaven came down into them, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and then they began to pour out, and they spoke out with tongues of fire. Four things. And one of them is the fire of God. This earth that is not, this the fire that never says it is enough. This longing for the Holy Spirit. This cry for the Holy Spirit in our hearts. This yearning to burn for God. To be an offering made by fire. That's what God told his people in the Old Testament. They brought their animal sacrifices. And the Lord said to them, I want an offering made by fire. This offering has to consume. This offering has to burn with intensity and passion after me. The fire of the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's have the worship ministry come. Have you ever said to a fire, come on, fire, catch? Trying to light a campfire? Trying to light a fire pit? Come on, fire, catch. And it seems to catch, and then it dies out, and you try again, and you shelter the fire and the flame and protect it and encourage it. And when the fire catches, everything changes. Come on, fire, catch. Come on, fire, catch. Your own life. Come on, fire, catch. and you will never be the same. Four things not enough: the grave, the call to the crucified life, to put the flesh life attitudes to death, cry for souls, the barren womb, to reach people for Christ, to be a blessing, to come to the house of God with purpose. How many people can I pray for? How many people can I bless? How many people can I encourage? Earth that is never filled with water, incessant longing, thirst for the presence of the Lord, the felt presence of God every day, watering our life early. He will come down like showers upon the grass, like rain upon the earth. In his days, if the righteous receive it, in his days, these are the days of Christ in our life. If we receive it, he said we'd flourish. We'd flourish like the grass, and there'd be abundance of peace. And then the fire of the Holy Spirit, the fire which never says it is enough. There's something about the fire of the Holy Spirit in us. We can feed it and feed it and feed it and feed it, and it never says enough, because it's still longing. The Holy Spirit is still longing and working and leading and guiding us in the will of Christ. Hallelujah. Let's stand together tonight. Let's offer ourselves to the Lord. Maybe one of these points tonight, one of these images has spoken to your heart. How's your walk with the Lord? Don't stumble now. Keep walking. Keep walking. Guard the path of your feet. Guard your heart. Out of it are the issues of life. Maybe you don't need a washing of your hands right now, but you need a washing of your heart. Things have come that, if you can see, they defiled me. I'm contaminated. I listen to my conversations. I listen to what I say. I need to wash my heart tonight. Just wash all that out. Put those things to the grave. Fight the good fight of faith. Well, I bless you with these words of the Lord tonight. If you'd like prayer at the altar, please slip out from where you are. If you want to consecrate yourself to the Lord in a special way tonight, please feel free to slip out and come to the altar at the front here. But for the next few minutes, let's let the Lord speak to us and touch our hearts and our lives and encourage us in the word of the Lord.